You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Wig Hackers, to another episode of The Dark Side of Wig Hacking, where I will be interviewing other wig hackers to help you break down your fear of bringing your business to the next level. Today, I have a special guest who really does not like any fame or recognition, really. He's very much a behind-the-scenes type of guy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, Vincent Ellerson, a veteran hairstylist and wig maker. Woo, woo!
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on? Okay, I am going to dive right in. How did you get started with hair styling?
I just was always interested in it. Even when I was in high school, I just always had my hands in people's hair. I always was doing a bunch of crazy stuff to my hair. And I was on my way in the military after I graduated high school. And I signed some of the papers, but I didn't sign all of the main ones that really commit you. And I said, I'm going to give this hair thing a try for a year, and I'm gonna see how it goes, and the military ain't going nowhere. And I loved it.
Okay, great. Now, so how long have you been a hairstylist? Like, how long have you been?
Since probably 1990. I've been licensed since 1992. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you transfer over to, I mean, you mostly do male enhancements, male toppers, closures, male pieces, for lack of better terms, because I know some people don't like to use, you know, certain terms, egos and things. How did that become part of your business?
I'm going to tell you, my clientele is actually is mostly female. I have a hand full of males, and I've gotten a lot of the males from the word of mouth off of my female hair replacement clients. I had a couple women come to me, and they're all like, I got alopecia, or I'm in the middle of the chemotherapy, and I can't find any wigs I like, and can you make something for me? And that's just kind of how it's grown. And I love it, being able to customize a unit for someone.
Yeah. Now, do you make them from complete scratch? What's your foundation method?
I do both. I can wig hack.
Yeah.
And I have done a few of them from scratch, you know, but and this is something, you know, that doing them from scratch, it can take a lot of time. A lot of time.
And I know you're getting paid like exactly what you're worth, and maybe even then some.
Of course.
Or do I have that backwards? I don't remember. But, you know, I'll talk about that a little bit later. You know, But so mostly from your female clients have actually introduced you to the male, because you make some beautiful men's pieces.
Thank you.
Like, they are really beautiful. So those that are listening, you should really check him out, because those are some quite stunning pieces. Even on the last World of Wigs that you were on, when you put on that one, you know.
Oh, right. The, yeah, I forgot.
The next World of Wigs, everyone was asking for you, like, where is he? Why isn't he in here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. You have a niche, my sir. You have a niche. So in your career, what was one skill that you had to learn? Like, you couldn't not learn it. What was one thing, like, you were, I don't know, for me, it's like, oh, I'm kind of forced to learn something new because I'm in my own zone. But what was something that you had to, like, buckle down and force yourself to learn? Be it a skill, be it a technique, you know, something like that.
In terms of the making the wigs, I think that learning how to ventilate is key. It is so key. It is such a valuable skill. And it's extremely fulfilling. If I have a client with a bald spot in her wig, it's like it only takes me like a little while, whatever, to fill in that spot. I love it being able to do that. In the very beginning, I was just like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because it's very intricate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very, I guess you would call it light-handed work. And I still am working on it. I wouldn't say I've absolutely mastered it or whatever. I don't know if you ever master it, but that's probably the thing.
And what was something that helped you overcome that little hurdle of starting? You know, I think that's...
You just have to do it. You just got to get some needles and some lace and some hair. And you learn it with the muscle memory. We've talked about that. Yeah. And it's just something you have to do it. Set aside a little time every day, ideally an hour.
I've been listening.
And it's something you just have to do it. And you're going to surprise yourself. And one day you're going to be like, man, this is so much easier. Like, I'm finally getting the hang of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What was an aha moment during your wig journey, wig making journey? Like, what was the, like, ah, and it's like, boom, click.
I would say my biggest aha is probably the fronting wigs and the refronting wigs. Because, I mean, because that's something you can refront a wig and make it look totally different, and it's just, it's a great skill to have.
Yeah,
I mean, that's something you could take the cheapest wig out of the beauty supply and you can refront it and you can turn it into a masterpiece, and I love that.
All the key terms, you're using all the key terms. Oh my gosh. Now, how are you? I know you want to kind of transition into doing a little bit more wig work. Have you put anything into place yet? Any systems into place to help you?
Okay. A lot of my free time on the weekends, I have a room that's full of hair and all my projects and heads and all that. I actually started on another refront this morning. And it's hard. I have a lot of clients, and I'm trying to figure that out still, exactly how I'm going to transition, because I've already had a lot of my people tell me I can't ever stop. And I tell them, well, everybody needs a backup, and they're like, I don't want a backup. I'm not going to anybody else. So it's hard. I mean,
because on my end from you know, listening, and I know some of your journey, and I feel, and we are very compassionate people. We are artists. We want to create, we want to help them. And I feel sometimes we forget that it's our business, right?
Right.
You know, right. And I think you have to invest in yourself a little bit by, I don't know. I think I maybe have said it before, you know, that price increase, you know, because I think that would definitely put up that red velvet rope. Yeah. As much as they want to be your ride or dies, then they need to be paying your ride or die fee.
Right. I agree.
That would be a great transition, you know, or just to help free up some more time so that you can have those units, those wigs in the salon ready for people to just walk by and buy.
Right. I agree. I completely agree.
Easier said than done.
It's easier said than done. I mean, I got a lot of bills. I got a lot of expenses. I'm in a salon. I'm in a booth rent spot. And the booth rent is fairly high. Mm-hmm. And with products and all my other bills or whatever, you know, it's a lot I'm trying to balance. So.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have like one wig cover all of that for you?
That would be amazing.
I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for. I know I've been pushing you for a long time to up those prices there. And you can, I mean, you need to do it. Okay. Anyway, back to the show. Sorry. These get into very, very therapy sessions, but okay. But how has doing wigs increased your business, you know, since before and after? I really want to hear that part of your journey.
A lot of my clients, a lot of them come on a regular basis and get their hair done. I've had a lot of clients and they ask for a wig that looks exactly like their own hair. So that when they have a bad hair day or I'm not able to get them in or whatever, they know they got the options. And I've had a lot of clients that have dealt with the breast cancer. I have lost a few of them, and it's a devastating thing. A couple of weeks ago, I just had a client that had this beautiful, long, past their shoulders, thick hair, and we buzzed it all off because it just was coming out in handfuls, and it's really emotional. And I really like it that I can help them a little bit more. Yeah.
I mean, the cancer, I'm going to say industry, because it is definitely, you know, an industry. Just the emotional side of it as a hairstylist is very, I'm going to say, draining. Just dealing with them and how to deal with them. And then for me, it's family, right? I get a lot of, you know, families that come with for their teens who, you know, and, you know, here's everything to a teen home.
Right.
I mean, that alone. Do you teach them how to get insurance, how to pay you with insurance?
I actually, I had taken another course and they showed us how to do that. And they gave us the forms. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Vincent. We're going back to my question. Sorry. Because right now, all I'm saying, you have everything. Literally, you are sitting in like the best wig zone you could possibly be. And you have the clientele willing to pay anything you say.
Yeah.
Say I'm a charity. Okay. Going into this, you know, what system do you need to put into place into your wig business that you have not done yet that you really want to?
What system? I should advertise a little more. I should post more content. I do a lot of stuff. and I never post it because I'm self-conscious because I think my pictures aren't perfect. And I should probably advertise a little bit more. I should let a lot of people know exactly what I can do.
Now, I'm Mr. Devil Advocate over here. Can you take an influx of people, of new clients?
Not, and I'm going to tell you, that's actually a part of it, because I thought to myself, if I get a bunch of people calling me, I'm already kind of overwhelmed. Like, I couldn't even take a large amount of business right now. So
you have to make room.
I have to make room, right, yeah.
Because then more room, more time, more money, yeah. You know, because you can still be doing, how many haircuts are you doing a day? How many heads are you doing a day?
Most days it's between 6 and 8, sometimes as many as 10. So, and the majority of my clientele is African American, and that involves the relaxing and extra conditioning involved in that, and the different treatments or whatever. So it can be a whole lot. And I don't have an assistant right now. So I know.
I know. For those who are listening on the podcast, I hope you know me as a person or know my facial expressions. I literally just got Botox. That's why I was a little late for my appointment. And because my facial expressions can tell a whole nother story. So hopefully some of you will be seeing this in some little snippets and clips. But hello.
I know.
Right now, what is that? Four things? We have a list of four things that you could implement today.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I got all the pieces. I just have to put them together.
Are you waiting for something? I'm just picking your brain now at this point, because the quality of work is there. So I can't say, oh, go hone your skill more. Like, oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, hold up a minute. Like, yo, careful of those. So that's where I'm like, all right. You have clients. You're doing 9 to 10 clients a day.
Yeah.
And I hope they're all, I don't want to like air out your business, but like, what is your average ticket price? How about that? Let's do that. I like that.
Between 75 and 100.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Just a relaxer is not going to cover any of that, sir.
Right, yeah.
You're a charity. So I have you can go to the US.401c3 and open up your own, youth center and,
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
Okay, so from what I see, this $75 to $100 average, if you just bring it to $200,
yeah,
minimum per service, minimum. So whatever that means, how you have to make it 200 plus.
Right.
Some will drop off, I'm going to assume, because you're giving such a great experience.
Yeah.
They're talking like this, that they're only going to come to you.
Yeah.
What time would that make in your business?
It would make a lot of time.
Because for me, so let's just use 6, right? So if it's $100 each, that's $600. So then if you're going to $200 each, your 3 of your clients can go away, where you can either book someone who's going to be paying a lot more in that space or taking extra time to go build things.
Right. And that's what I really want to do. I don't really want a bunch of new clients. I want to be able to make the wigs and hair pieces. I want the time for that.
Well, let's not. They're paying on staying. I think because if you do your promotion now with the numbers you actually do,
yeah,
No.
Yeah.
You have a price sheet. What's stopping you from just adding $50, adding $100 to your service?
A lot of my clients are retired and they're on a fixed income. And I know that whatever money they have, it isn't my business to count their money, but I have a lot of people that are on fixed incomes and they've been coming to me already for over 20 years and it's like a real friendship. So,
yeah. So then you're either going to have to you're sacrificing your business for
it. Yeah.
So get an assistant who can go do them and teach that assistant really well. Cause then you're like, hey, you can't afford me. My prices are going up, but here's my assistant. And then hire a good assistant.
You know?
I mean, I don't know how to, like, you're not Jesus. Like, you can't help everyone, you know, without helping yourself. And you, just your wig room, and I know how much hair you have on stock. Everyone should be mad. I know everyone has their stock of wigs, but you could be turning over a profit hand over fist.
I have enough hair. I could make 1,000 wigs. I told you, I'm a hair hoarder.
Right. I mean, so what's stopping you?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
What is stopping you? What is that? There must be the biggest block of something. And I know I'm not therapy and this is the podcast isn't therapy, but you know, because I know you're not the only one. And that's really why I head off today so I could do this podcast, because I want people to hear your story and your why, because everyone goes through it. Everyone goes through it. And I mean, I know I'm not getting any younger, even though my face is because of my doctors, but I have to make money to make that happen, you know? So how can you make this profitable? Because you're sitting on an investment of 1,000 wigs.
Yeah.
Let me get out my calculator. I'm not going to do math here and look like a, you know. Okay, so let's just say 1,000. 1,000 wigs times, I'm going to say 2,500. Sir? I'm just going to show you the number because I don't even want you to like, but you're going to do Aunt Susie Q for $25 roller set.
Yeah. And that's a part of it because like I have a lot of older clients and I feel like I know too much to be spending so much time doing these shampoo sets.
That is an assistant. Are you your own assistant? I mean, literally right now, go to the cosmetology school. Get someone who could just do it.
I'm going to tell you, I went and I had a conversation with the director and she was telling me that the industry, it is really changing and everybody's going natural and they're focusing on skincare. And their program in skincare, it is it's really blowing up, and the hair care is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
What does that have to do with your business?
I'm having trouble filling chairs in the salon. I can't even find another stylist. And it's just a lot. It's like a lot of people, everybody's wants a suite and they want to work for them all alone and they want to be the boss of everything and they don't want to be a part of family and that kind of thing. It's not that easy finding people now. I hear a lot of stylists and they got shops and the majority of their chairs are empty. So
I mean, we obviously maybe that's a source of what are you offering them, right? Because that offer has to be good enough.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it is more of a wig maker, you know?
Right. Right.
And then that's like a whole, okay, let's build, ghost ventilate percentage, whatever the hell it is. You know what I mean? Maybe you come from it from that point of view where maybe your assistant does get a chair-ish, you know?
Right.
And then you start migrating people over to them if they're really new. But then what are you offering them? What is that? What is the base pay? What is the, that's something to entice them. I know now everyone is motivated by money and by fame and by all.
Right. 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 It would be booth rent. I mean, it just would be a space and they would run their own situation out of their space.
Right. But that's not what you need. So
yeah.
You might be giving up that booth rent and giving them a chair, but they're your assistant.
Yeah, I hadn't really looked at it that way. I mean, that's something to think about.
Especially but this is also something that you do want to mentor, that they do love your work and they do want to work with you and learn your technique and do all the things.
Right.
Just from what I'm hearing, you know, that could be a possible way. And I know how hard it is to find people and then keep people. For me, it's the
right.
Because I build people up so well, they go off and they do it on their own. And that's what I want. I want everyone to do that. I want people to grow and, you know, but I do like to have a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And I think I grew up in a time of, you know, assistance, being a shampoo boy, you know.
I was an assistant for a long time. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but now I think that might be a brain change for you too, because you're still watching Sutton. So.
Right, right.
You know,
and even with the wigs, I thought about this too. In certain areas, convincing people that what I do is more valuable than these wigs they get in the beauty supply and out of China is a chore sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a chore.
I do feel pricing can help with that.
Okay.
Because like I know ticker sales price will help. Oh, I'm spending more money. It needs to be more valuable if it's this price tag. So then you're coming in with a person that is already at that level. And of course, the people you have now are how much does a wig cost from you? May I ask?
They started $500. I know. Yeah.
And how much do you spend on hair for that wig?
It depends. I mean, the hair isn't always extremely expensive. I got a bunch of virgin ponytails. I mean, super high quality. And then I got the beauty supply hair. It's all about the what I know how to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
is it worth it? If you can make $500 worth it,
yeah,
have six people in your chair, minimum $500 prices.
Right, right. Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I know. We've been down this road many of time. I do want to know what the holdup is, sir. Because just changing your price, and I mean, I hate to say, but our old clients are old. You know, so they're used to a 25-cent wash and set, and you know,
right?
Paying $250. Oh no! And right. And to be honest, that is not, from what I'm hearing, that is not your target market.
No, it's really not.
Your target market is not that.
I want the people with the expendable income, and they got the money to pay for the best.
Right, but then you have to act like the best.
Yeah.
You know, you got to meet them on their level.
Right, right.
I know you have all that hair that is the best.
Yeah,
like making a product that is the best, but you have to show off the best. Like,
okay.
In your, especially your stuff is good. Like,
thanks.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what you're sitting on.
Yeah.
I mean. And I get it. It is a business at the end of the day, and you're doing what makes money, and that's getting those butts in the chairs and turning them over.
Right. But
you can still be very profitable and make a killing. Like, even if you start, even if you're at that $500 range now, why don't you come out with a product that is $1,000?
Mm. And just, I actually have an idea. Yeah.
Have it on a shelf.
Yeah.
Because that's the, I think, and it's taking the clients you have now and educating them, and also use the whole, ooh, I want better tactic.
Right, right.
And showing them what a luxury product is. But you're already giving that away for $500.
Yeah.
So your $500 might need to come down a little bit in value a little bit. So right, that $1,000, that $2,500, you know, because any ventilating you do should not be less than $1,200.
Okay.
That's time.
Right, right. Yeah,
how long, okay, now think about it. How long did it take you to get to where you are at ventilating?
Over the course of like a couple years, probably, with in practice, yeah. Yeah.
So remember that person who's sitting in your seat for that, I'm going to, if it's a wig, hour, whatever it is, they're not paying you for that time. They're paying you from that 2 years, that three right. years. All those right. late nights that you're up ventilating on your own, throwing it, wanting to throw the damn head across the room. That's what you're paying for.
Right, right. You know, yeah.
That investment that you did of time. So I'm hopefully trying to get you to see it in a different light. So you'd be like, oh, you know what? I think $200 is just fine. If I lose someone, you know what? That's going to give me more time to make a better product that's someone who actually needs it.
Right, right. Okay. And that's what I needed to hear. I mean, I already know it, but sometimes, I don't know. I need you to remind me. I need to hear it from you. So,
and I know you're also working with a lot of dedicated people. Like, I still have one woman, I still go to her house, I cut her hair, like,
yeah,
hardly get to the door, there's an elevator that brings her little ass down to the door, and then I bring it all the way back up, and I have to walk up with her, and I get it. I forget who I was talking to, but they were talking about in the Asian culture, that in radioactive, like if a war goes on and radioactive things go, who goes to clean it up? The older people go and clean it up because they know they're going to die. So they can give their children a better life to live.
Wow, that's deep. I never knew.
So I want you to think about it, that you are spending your time with an older person, which I do not mind. And of course they need it and all that. But when they do, when this chapter is done for them and this book closes, all that time and energy you spent with them dies with them.
Right.
That time of building someone at $750 value.
Yeah.
You know? And I know over the course of time, yes, they were money to keep the, but do you see what I mean? Like, it's that balancing and like, who can you let go?
Mm.
You know, and we're recommending them to someone. It's time.
Okay.
Reclaim your time.
I mean, well, give me 6 months and we'll talk about it like around the holidays or something, because I got like a lot of, every day I'm kind of moving in the direction.
All you have to do, you can even say by the holidays, it's going to be double the amount because of whatever. So right now, say it's $20 extra for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Because that $20 could pay you an assistant for 2 days, 3 days.
True. True.
And then you could just pay someone. You don't have to, they don't got to have a passion for it. Then you could just pay someone to be there. Go sort the wigs. Go do. Right. Yeah. So maybe even $50. You could do that. You can do that today. Their next booking, here's my new prices. Prices have gone up. COVID.
Yeah.
Just say COVID at this point. COVID.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
And see how much freedom that gives you. Just that little bit of extra padding.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I will. I promise I will.
So their next booking, Aunt Susie and, you know, Aunt Susie and her girlfriends that are coming down from the home on the bus, that's free. So they're watching set.
Right, right.
So $120.
Yeah. Right. And I don't think I'm gonna get a bunch of complaints or nothing because everything is going up. Absolutely everything in the world is going up and everybody talks about. Yeah.
And just this is what it is. You have in 6 months, you better be having 3 people a week, but selling 12 wigs.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Because I know you love hair and I know you love the people, but I know you love making wigs.
Yeah.
You are I not do. Happy behind that chair.
I really am not. I mean, I loved it for a while. It's more of a job now. In the very beginning, I loved it so much. I was like, I mean, well, you're going to let me do your hair and you're going to pay me too? Really? I don't feel that anymore.
That goes real, real quick. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to hold you to it because I'm going to do this podcast again and we're going to, where are they now? That's what it's going to say. We're going to do a whole new, where are they now? 6 months later. And if we are sitting in this same spot,
No.
I have goals too that I am, you know, we're all doing the things. So
yeah.
I truthfully want you to like, it is time. I told you that last time too, even on the one recorded. But enough of me talking about it. Where can people find you? That's what I want to know.
I'm on Instagram. And my Instagram is great stylist number one.
One more time.
It's one great stylist on Instagram.
Okay. I'll put that in there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I got the Twitter account too. It's Vince's VIP Hair.
Okay.
The other one, the TikTok.
TikTok. Okay. There we go. So I want to thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and opening up and letting me grill you a little bit as always.
Thank you for beating me up a little bit. I needed it.
I really do appreciate you being a part of the community and a part of the Wig Hackers community because you do bring a ton of education and a ton of experience that people might not get. So I do appreciate being open to talk about it. And you don't have to put your face on the camera. You know, I know this is big for you. You're like hunched over, ready to like cry. I get it. But I so appreciate you being.
I appreciate you too. I've learned a lot from you.
Oh, thank you. Make sure you go check him out on his social media profiles, which will be linked in the description down below. But I want to thank you who is listening for spending your time listening to my podcast. If you have learned something or this has inspired you, please share it with a friend, leave a review. Don't forget to sign up for the Wig Hackers community so that you can keep your wig making skills sharp and on point and a network of other wig makers so you can work smarter, not harder. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.